Sorry, there's a bit of... this is why we have the pause moment, so we can kind of work through some of the glitches on some of the things. And it's so good to see each and every person here. You are a great part of what God is doing at Coast Hills and beyond. And so thanks for coming and making it a priority to be here on a long weekend even. So that's a really good thing. And we're going to start our new series, and then we're going to move into communion a little bit later, and we're going to see how maybe those two are actually tied in together. But let me pray before we start. Jesus, thank you for this community, this local community, that seeks to have you at the center. We seek to create gracious space for those that have questions and doubts and concerns, and even gracious space for those that maybe we don't always get along with, but under the umbrella of who Jesus is, we say we're brothers and sisters. Thank you also for this community, that would you inspire us to live out acts of generous love so that more people would have an understanding of who you are. Pray you be with my words today and those of us, all of our hearts, prep our hearts to be able to hear from you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Good. So, I feel like I think it's been like 6 weeks since I've actually preached here, which is a good thing. And so, Paul, thanks for wrapping up our What Stirring series last week. That was incredible. And if you missed it, you need to go back and listen to that, because it's almost like we need to sit in that for a bit, even more what's stirring. Now we're in this new series, Walking with Wisdom. But if there's been things that were stirring in and through you as far as your gifting, we want to be able to have conversations with you about that. We want to be able to say, this might be a good fit for you here at Coast Hills, but also maybe not just at Coast Hills, but where you're leading and living and working in your jobs as well. So we want to continue to walk with you in that. So what's stirring? Let's keep that question open and that dialogue. And so we, a preaching team, as Paul told you last week, got together and thought, okay, fall is kind of almost like a new year. For those of us that maybe still have kids or that have went to school before, fall has always been kind of like a new year, like a kickoff, a startup. And so we thought, okay, let's gather us together around the theme of wisdom in the new year. I don't know about you, but with small children, it can be, well, now they're getting older, there can be this pressure on you with what everyone else is doing in fall and who's signed up for what and when does school start and what programs are they in and how does this work and have we got the edgy pack and how's that? Like, there's lots of pressure sometimes with regards to fall. Some of you are in a different season of life. You're going, fall, no big deal. I'm taking off to Phoenix soon, right? Right? Hey, yes, exactly. And, right, there's different stages, but that's kind of where we're all walking now. And we thought, okay, sometimes with that, there's all kinds of decisions that we need to make, and we need to be thinking about how do we live with wisdom. And so from now until the week after Thanksgiving, we're going to do a series on wisdom. And so for me today, I'm going to give more of an intro and over a bit more of a bird's eye view. And where do we situate our wisdom, and what is that now, and then how do we act as a result of that? So that's kind of what I'm going to look at, and we're going to continue to get more practical as the weeks go on, but I really want us to look at this. When you think of wisdom, and those of you, there's many of you that grew up in the church, some of you didn't, but when you think of wisdom, is there a verse that comes to mind when you think of that? Anyone? Pardon? Right, we can't, like, that comes up. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I know Paul's probably going to touch on it as well. As we're doing this, Paul, our teaching team, and Paul says, our whole Global Disciples, we've been looking at that idea of walking in wisdom and understanding how do we, as Jesus followers, as Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, how do we understand wisdom? So we look forward to what Paul has to say in a couple weeks, and then and Glenn and a few others. So, but let's get into this. I want to talk a little bit about having a posture of a student in the midst of this. If you look at our the graphic here, I don't know if people look at that or not, but it was an interesting comment as we were looking at the different graphics. We had one that was a great visual of a single person walking in maybe what we thought was wisdom, and someone said, no, that looks like isolation. It looks like you're by yourself. It looks like that's not wisdom. And so it was a great catch from someone that said, no, like we need to be able to do this together. So you're going to see that theme come out today as well. But I want to tell you a story of maybe something I that wasn't too wise. This summer, as many of you know, I got to go back to my home town. And I got to speak at the camp that I grew up at. And then the guy who picked me up at 11:30 at night, and the two kids, and Elliot Mael, picked us up at that time. 11:30 at night on a Saturday, he picks me up. We only had a 3-hour drive to the camp. And his wife said, well, you know, you can pick him up because once you pick him up, all you guys are just going to do is talk about all the crazy things he did when you're younger. That's exactly what happened. He's a director at Camp Crossroads, which is an amazing camp. And Andy picks me up, and all of a sudden we start chatting about all different kinds of things. And my son Elliot said to me the other day, Dad, can you explain a little bit about what you did with those fireworks again? I'm like, oh no. So sometimes when you're a bit younger and maybe you don't have great judgment and maybe you have the knowledge of how to light something, but you don't have the wise judgment into what to do with it, my friends and I, that many of you will have some of the same stories, but we were at our youth leader's home, which is a green, also a farm, so it was a greenhouses, which during that time, it wasn't glass greenhouses, they were plastic greenhouses, which could have even had more trouble, and so we all, he thought it was cool, he thought it would be cool if he would buy us all Roman candles, and have us there at about 9 o'clock at night. And he gave us all Roman candles. We're like, what do we do with these? He's like, watch what happens. I'm like, okay. Ari, if you're listening, I love you, but this wasn't very wise. So so there's 8 of us guys. He just basically got us in a really big, long circle, and he said, light them up, boys. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, what? Light what up? Okay. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't lighting. And all of a sudden, there's like this ball of fire that came right by my head. Like, boom. I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing. So we lit these things up, and we started, like, shooting them at each other. Not a really wise thing. It was really incredibly fun and dangerous, but don't ever do that. So I was at my buddy Chuck's house. We stayed over the night this summer, and he said, remember when? And I'm like, yeah. And then he reminded me, he wished that he had caught this, but he had, like, a trucker hat that my friend Andy, who picked me up, had shot at Chuck, and it had went basically right through his hat and through the top of it and then the back mesh, and he had a fire hole right through the whole thing. And Chuck said, he said this, that was fun, but it really wasn't that wise, was it? I'm like, no, it wasn't. Wisdom is something that helps us make good judgments with the knowledge that we have. And I'm just glad I didn't get hurt or we didn't hit an eye or whatnot, but it was a whole lot of fun. So knowledge is the possession of information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that we have. And I would add to it that, and wisdom helps make good judgments. I love Eugene Peterson quote that's in your thing. He says, wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual circumstances we find ourselves in. What does it look like to live skillfully in this. Part of me goes, man, am I the right person to be speaking about living skillfully? I think we can glean some information here, but also some wisdom from one another in this way. There's a posture that we want to have as being a student. As you look at this, we're not all going back to school, but I believe that we can all be students of life. As we look at the picture of walking in wisdom, people have their backpacks on, they're on a hike, but it looks like they're students. They're going back. They haven't learned everything yet. And would we, during this series, hold that posture that I haven't learned everything yet, that I want to learn more from different voices, and I want to be able to learn and also grow in wisdom to be able to make good judgments. I think I might have told this story, but this idea of being a good student or being coachable, I've coached lots of volleyball and hockey, and sometimes I can tell the students that maybe, or the kids that don't want to learn, think they do, but they don't, because I'm getting technical, and I'm like, okay, when you pass the volleyball over your head, you do this. I know. No, you don't know, because you're doing it totally. No, I know. No, like when you, okay, then I just go on with someone else. if we say, I know, then we actually might not know. And so I want us to have that understanding of being a student during this time. So let's get into this. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Proverbs 10:9, you guys quoted this. It's not in the program, but it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we assume that we have life figured out on our own, we'll never discover, I don't know if we'll ever discover the wisdom of God or the wisdom of Jesus here. Derek Vreeland says these two things. Wisdom begins by acknowledging two facts. There is a God, and I'm not God. There is a God, and I'm not God. This fear of the Lord refers to healthy respect, not like a trembling fear, although that might have been what in the Old Testament would have been. But it's a healthy respect and reverence for the ways of God and who He is. We believe that God's a creator, and therefore He knows all of life and how life works. Wisdom begins with confessing our need for God, who has given us access and wisdom through the knowledge and the person of Jesus. So we want to be rooted in that during this series. If you have Colossians 2, the verses up there, I'm going to read actually, are they the scrolling one? No? Okay. That's okay. I'm going to read from, I believe it's Colossians 2:2-3 in there. I want you to know how hard I am. This is the writer of Colossians. I want to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is reveals the wisdom and the knowledge of all the treasures of life. Colossians, I love this book. One time we're going to do a book series on that. Because if you want to look to God, you look to the person of Jesus. Jesus is God's best understanding of who He is. We understand God by looking at the person of Jesus. And so there's this treasure, there's this wisdom in Jesus. So what does that look like? How do we access this? I also want to read Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest who is over the house of God, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled and cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here, this passage is saying, draw near to Jesus. Jesus has the full wisdom. Jesus has the knowledge and the wisdom of who God is. All the treasures are hidden in him. And here in Hebrews, it says we have access to who Jesus is. Many of you have seen this. I'm not going to talk about it much, but I found it during our moves from offices. I'd taken a picture of this, but I hadn't found my really, really amazing artwork. And about where the curtain was torn. This is like, you can tell I haven't used a handheld in a while, hey? So let's check out this. So I want to just throw this up there, is that this is a good reminder that, there you go, how low budget is that? But this is a good reminder and a good understanding for us that we have access to who God is. Because of the curtain has been torn, because of the death of Jesus, this access that we have is for all and everyone. The concentric circles that kept people out of the temple, now with the death of Jesus, it actually bust open and allowed people to come in to this relationship with Jesus. And not just to receive forgiveness, not just to receive acceptance, not just to receive love, yes, all of that. But I want to argue too that maybe, just maybe, if Jesus, all the wisdom and the treasure of knowledge is found in him, maybe, just maybe, our access to Jesus is also able to give us the wisdom that we need to walk through our days and make decisions as Jesus followers, with Jesus being the Lord of our lives and us having allegiance to him. So be reminded of that picture, that even if we're messing up, even if we're not living skillfully, there's this opportunity and this invitation for Jesus to be for us to draw near to him. And not only for us, this idea of drawing near to him, there's this part in Hebrews where it says, Hebrews 24:25, let us consider on when we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together as someone happening. Well, let's encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I have another quote from Derek Greeley. He says, growth in wisdom requires relationships with wise people. Okay, that makes sense. Look around you. There's wise ones among us here and that aren't even here as well. This is particularly why I chose 2 years ago to say, let's do a preaching team. Let's have a preaching team. Let's have 6, 7, 8 different people that are actually going to give different voice to who Jesus is in the context that they are understanding them. So that's actually really strategic for us to say there's wise voices around us and we need to listen to each of these voices in the midst of it. I'll tell you a story about how we landed here at Coast Hills. A few years ago, we were at our sister church, Grace Point, and a few things came to a head. Without saying all that, we took a long time. Maybe Sharon said we might have taken too long of a time, or I took too long of a time in this. And there was a big decision that we need to make. Are we going to, do we stay in this community that we love? Do we move on? What does it look like? How do we make decisions in this? And Sharon and I were praying and racking our brains and listening to God and trying to say, what does this look like? It feels like we need to leave, but I'm not sure about that. Like, this is a hard thing to do. Partly for those of you that have, partly for a pastor, it's a little bit harder in a sense because your work is actually wrapped up in your community. And that can be a little tricky. So we gathered friends around us, some that went to our church and some that didn't, good friends that we've been walking with for like 20 years that were willing to come around us. We did it kind of Quaker style. I had written out some pages of my own thoughts and given it to them. And then they came along, they listened to me, And then I just listened to them. And it was very freeing to gather the wisdom of a group of people to be able to make a major decision in your life. And you go, okay, this was wise counsel. Even though it was hard, it was wise counsel. And now as I look back, I go, how good was that? Right? How good was that? Sometimes we don't want to pull out of something that's familiar. But if the voices around you are saying, maybe you need to do this, maybe this is the direction you need to go, and maybe you don't want to, there's something to be said about wise counsel. There's something to be said about in the context of community. Jesus speaks to us in the context of community. So wisdom is handed down from the wise ones to us. Who is wise among you? Do you need some wisdom? Help you make some good decisions in your life. Press into the community that surrounds you. It's not a time to go off and make your own decision in a maverick style. Press into the community that's around you. Draw near to each other. Be a student. Be a learner. And this idea of being present and being known. I am, usually it's changing a bit, I am a raging extrovert. So I'm like, hey, you know, and maybe in the last few years you've seen that toned down, but usually I am want to be in relationship with everyone, and but I can't, and that kills me. And some of us are introverts and go, okay, I don't want to be in relationship with everyone because that's going to kill me, and that's a good thing that you aren't. So I understand the difference between the two. What I want to say to us as a community is, maybe are you able to move one step closer to someone in this community, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, so that you're actually able to be known, so that someone's actually able to help you in times of decision and judgment, or even just daily life, to possibly give you wise counsel. It's hard to do that with someone that you don't know. It's hard to receive that from someone that you don't know. That's really hard. Some of us maybe think it's easier but I believe wisdom isn't just this download that God gives us through the person of Jesus. It has to be tested and approved and in the context of community. And so as we go through this series, this is kind of what we want to be talking about. Is that yes, Jesus is giving, there's wisdom to be learned from everyone. Our decisions, these good decisions, these good judgments are made under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that in the context of community? How am I listening to one another? So would you possibly move to be known just a little bit more? To be seen just a little bit more? Could you be a student and a learner from the people in this room? Then there's this interesting thing here, again, this idea of the context of community. I've been hanging up on this on these verses, and Ephesians 3, 8 to 10, maybe I'll just start in 10. His intent, Jesus, was now that through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities, to the authorities, to the leaders. What? Really? So that means that we have to figure out what that looks like in the context of community and living with one another. And how is the church making this known to the rulers and authorities? That's something we can need to maybe dive into another time. I'm just throwing out there that caught me. Because it's not just the church. It's the church is a group of people that actually don't really do it perfectly very well. And actually need to understand this goodness, this grace, need to understand that we have access to this God that has given access to everyone. And now what do we do with that? How do we live that out to the rulers and the authorities and the principalities? How does the church look different than, I guess you'd see maybe, I don't want to use the word culture, but this overarching principalities and powers and authorities. I wonder if it looks much like the person of Jesus laying down their life for one another, listening, learning, serving, hearing, encouraging one another to move forward in things that maybe they don't think they could ever do. But a voice of someone said, yes, you go. This is a mystery. For some reason, God has chosen to reveal his wisdom through people, broken, messy people that don't always get it right. And when they get it wrong, they get it incredibly wrong. We want to become wise and learn from one another, even in the midst of our brokenness. So God shows up in a person, Jesus Christ, who is filled with all the treasures and knowledge and wisdom, where we have full access to him. And we are to look to him, to seek wisdom that comes from him, but we're to do that in the context of community almost every time. God has revealed his wisdom through the practical outworking of the community that seeks wisdom together. So would we be willing to do this together? Jesus is present with us through the Holy Spirit, and we are present with one another. Would we move one step closer to be present with one another, that we could learn from the wise ones? Sometimes I don't think I'm very wise, and yet there's some people that say, Kevin, I want to learn from you. And I'm like, okay, but I want to learn from someone else too, and I want to learn from you. And so it's not just this download of information. I'm learning from people at different stages in different ways. Would we be able to do that? What would that look like in our life groups this fall in the context of that you find yourselves in with the community that's around you? This leads us to the communion table. This is a picture of Jesus being present, so very present with us, so present until death, so present that the authorities in the Roman Empire at that time said, that's a very foolish thing to do. Your Messiah is not supposed to be on the cross. He's supposed to be ruling with an iron fist. And Jesus says, no. No, I'm going to do it differently. And so this wisdom that Jesus reveals to us today is the love that he has for each and every one of us. And he says, I'm present with you even in the brokenness of my body and the shedding of my blood. What a great picture. And this communion isn't necessarily, I love how we've done it in the past. There were sometimes we have a table in the middle and we come up to the table and we break it alongside and with people. Today we're going to come and take this bread, but remember that you're taking this bread and this cup together as a community. A community that's willing to walk with you. A community that wants to learn from you. A community that wants to reveal the love and the forgiveness and the wisdom of Jesus with you. So as we do that, I want to encourage you to be thinking about this wisdom that we receive from God through his body given to us and his blood shed for us. But also be thinking about the wise ones around you. And maybe this week you can move one step closer to that person or that group of people or I guess this tribe we call Coast Hills, so that you'd be able to grow in your wisdom in that way. I'm going to ask those of us that are going to be leading communion to come on up. I want to explain communion, how we take it here at Coast Hills. And then I have one more announcement. So as we take communion, we take a piece of bread and dip it. And you can take it right away. Otherwise, it can get a bit messy. But if you want it, you can also go back to your seat. But it's easier if you just take it, dip it, and take it. On this side, Paul and Ruth Ann will be here for the gluten-free. If you want to go, yeah. And you can come over here and receive communion here. On this side is regular bread. Also, we have our community care fund. And so once a month, we take an extra offering. This is the time that we pass our plate, and we take money for our community care fund to help those in need, different people that are in need in different ways. And we're so, it's a beautiful opportunity for us to be able to give to you. So once we take communion, then during the song, the plate will be passed, and those funds go to our community care fund. So I will say this to you. I want to invite us to this table in this way. This is the table, not of the church, but for the church. This is the table of our Lord. It is made ready for those who love him and for those who want to love him more. So come. You who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who have been here long. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed. Come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Come to the table.